It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I think I killed it.
Oh, did you smash it?
He took it for a little ride.
Right through the roof.
He took it up top.
You just gunned it?
Mm-hmm. No touch.
No touch.
No hands.
You got no hands around the net?
I'm the Roman Polak of drone flying.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
23 minutes, but who's counting?
23 minutes to be exact.
Not a mail-in Monday.
Yeah, it is.
It has all the makings of it, but I think we've been pretty good today.
We've been very good. You were strong until you got the no guy.
Yeah, James Lofton.
Hard no guy.
He gave you, like, the best part about it is I think you had a really nice tee up. Like, I think you came at him with a good point of view.
Hey, new set of listeners, let's hear what you had to say. He's probably sleeping back there.
No.
To our boy Lofton and his response. Oh, it's not ready. It's
you just sewered Mullins
yeah,
so bad.
Why
are we not talking more about the Jags choking that game away, James? Did you see it that way?
Not really.
I don't think it's been brought up enough. Like, the Jags were up 10.
There's
I know
a lot
they're
of talk
Jacksonville.
On Twitter, the Jags got hosed by some calls.
Well, were they bad calls? Like, I kept seeing.
Well, you
okay,
know that when Brady
are.
Throws one up, there's going to be pass interference. It's like automatic. It's just.
You
well,
know
how
about don't
coming.
Lay your hands on the receiver then?
The Pats only had one penalty called against them.
Right.
That's borderline unheard of in today's NFL. It's borderline unheard of. The Miles Jack fumble where he got up and started running and then they blew it down. There is some dispute over whether or not he was actually down by contact.
Right.
But listen, it's the Pats. People hate on the Pats. People are jealous of the Pats. I don't like the Pats.
Right.
I don't like their fans who feel as if they're entitled to this every single year. But what am I going to say about it?
Yeah.
They go to the Super Bowl all the time.
Every year.
Brady and Belichick are about to go to their 8th Super Bowl.
That's insane.
8. Like, LeBron James has been to 8 NBA Finals.
Yeah.
7 years in a row he's been in the NBA Finals. But so far he's 2-5. If he gets there again this year, or what is he? Yeah, he's been to 8. He's 2-6, I guess.
So 2-6?
2-6 in the NBA Finals.
Wow.
They're 5-2 in the Super Bowls. If they win again this year, that's 6-2 in the Super Bowl. And the two times they lost, it was the Giants and the Miracles late and Eli Manning. And
there was a guy in my high school growing up that had 6 fingers. So he could be Brady.
Really?
Yeah. He had 2 thumbs. He used to smoke a cigarette between 2 thumbs.
No way.
Yeah.
Was it like a... rodeo clown kind of trick?
Had 6 fingers?
He had 6 fingers on his hand.
Why didn't he get the other one sawed off?
Well, I went to high school like 30 years ago. It wasn't like it was...
Do you know the guy still?
No, I haven't crossed paths with him.
Because I want the text. Do you still have 6 fingers?
No, I'm not going to like...
Well, what's the move? I've heard of that with feet, like with toes.
Web toes and
yeah,
stuff. You get them. I'm sure you can surgically have it like...
If you had
like
6 toes, would you have one sawed off?
Toes?
No.
I wouldn't care about toes.
Fingers, maybe.
Dude, you want Hammer Time? You remember that movie Hammer Time with Eddie Murphy where he just peels the covers back and there's Hammer Time on someone's toes?
No.
You can't have it.
Well, 2 thumbs, I mean, or 3 thumbs.
2.
That's...
3 total in both hands.
That's what I'm saying. You get 3 thumbs.
Either way,
actually, now that I
the
think
point
about
is
it,
this guy
bad.
Could be Brady with 6 fingers. Like,
right, if he gets a 6th ring, that's right. That's right. Anyway, we know what the Super Bowl is. We know what the line is. It opened around, depending on which book it was, 6.5 points. It's already been bet towards the Eagles. That number's coming down. So a lot of people are going to jump on that story. The Eagles will get more pub over the next 2 weeks because we've been here so many times with the Patriots. There's nothing new about what the Pats are doing. That ESPN, the magazine story about turmoil and all that, no one cares about it anymore. They're back in the Super Bowl. It's the Eagles that are new to the scene. It's the Eagles that have a quarterback that doesn't have the cachet that Tom Brady does, to put it lightly, and they're the underdogs. Even though they went 13 games during the season, and now they've won 2 in a row in the playoffs, they're in a Super Bowl, but they're going to be treated like underdogs.
It's the Patriots.
And more focus is going to be placed on them.
How's Belichick going to be? That's my question.
He'll be the exact same he has been the previous 7 times he's been
there. Just crusty.
Yeah, he won't say anything. They'll play coy with Gronkowski for 2 weeks. Like Gronk is playing. If he's got a concussion, he'll be okay in 2 weeks.
But if he gets interviewed, does he walk out like Brady, but he's got like a helmet on or something?
He's got his head wrapped.
Yeah,
like a
mummy. Yeah, like comes out and says, "Oh, we'll see. It's game time decision."
That wouldn't surprise me if Belichick made him do that.
Because Belichick is, I think he's somewhat of a troll behind scenes. You have to think that he. He must have instructed Brady to go out with those red gloves on for that press conference.
You guys just mentioned media day. I think that's the most overrated thing. Like, I would hate to cover that day.
Nothing comes out of it.
No, it's just garbage answers.
What are you going to say, though? Like, is there anybody... We always love players that come out and speak their mind, but then they get vilified for speaking their mind. And then say, why would you do that? You gave us bulletin board material. So it's going to be vanilla down the middle.
The greatest ever was Marshawn Lynch a few years ago. He just said every question, I'm here so I don't get fined.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
But then people torched him for that, too, saying you're here, like, smart enough.
You can say something. It's not really the end of the world. You're in the Super Bowl. People aren't trying to attack you. They're trying to tell your story. Yeah, they're trying to get a bit of an angle. Like, the Brady news, he had 10 or 12 stitches. Like, he said after the game he was legitimately concerned Thursday and Friday. And on Saturday he found some confidence, and obviously it didn't affect him yesterday. He played great.
I wonder if his guru rubbed some, like, dirt in it or something.
He's still allowed on the premises to hang out with Brady.
Right, just
but not
allowed
work with anybody else.
On the sidelines, too, though.
He's not allowed on the sidelines during the game, is my understanding, right? Yeah. But he can still kick around the facilities if he's working just with Brady. But
guaranteed he was helping out.
But after the game, Brady said it. Like, Belichick doesn't like us talking about injuries.
Yeah.
And that's Tom Brady, who's going to his 8th Super Bowl, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, and he's still a little bit scared of Belichick getting mad at him.
Well, that's
a little bit afraid of Belichick getting mad at him.
That's so, 34 with Lou Lamoriello.
That's what I'm saying. You bring it back to Toronto. Every once in a while, we have these conversations. At some point, Matthews is going to say, that's enough, Babcock. I'm going to do it my way. Brady has done it Belichick's way for like 18 years.
But it's worked. That's the thing. It's worked.
Don't you think Brady has a little more say than what you're portraying here?
Probably behind the scenes he does.
Like
publicly,
game planning, I'm sure they sit together and say, you like this, you like that.
I'm sure they have a conversation before they go out and do their media.
But publicly, Brady plays by the rules. Brady came out to the media on Friday, I believe it was, and he said, I'm not even talking about it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he personally wasn't interested in doing that, but that kind of felt like marching orders from Belichick. Go out there, wear the gloves, as ridiculous as this sounds, wear gloves, and don't say anything.
But
Don't tell them anything.
I have a feeling that Tom, as he's grown older, he's had enough, too. Like, he doesn't like his whole life being under a microscope. Like, I think he's probably a lot like Belichick, more like Belichick than what we would think. He's just more polished than him, if that makes sense. He's probably on the same page with, like, they probably sit in the office and he's like, yeah, I'm not going to say anything today because of this.
Yeah, he's secretive. He doesn't want everyone talking about him. He doesn't seem comfortable in the limelight.
His public life, his politics, all of that. Like, his wife is the one who's got him in a little bit in the tabloids a little bit. Remember, wasn't she popping off in the elevator? Was that a couple years ago?
Yeah,
they lost the Super Bowl, and I think she was talking to some other wives or fans.
Yeah,
saying,
and somebody filmed
My
it.
Husband can't catch the damn ball, too.
Yeah, it was when Welker missed a catch, and she took a shot at Wes Welker. But, listen.
I think it was Woodhead, actually.
It might have been Woodhead. But, regardless, it was her. Now, she didn't know she was being taped.
Right.
So, somewhat unfair from that standpoint. But, yeah, she was popping off. She last offseason during an interview with Good Morning America or whatever was saying that Brady has concussions all the time.
That's right.
He had to come back out and be like, no, she doesn't know what she's talking about. That's not actually the truth.
That's true.
That caused a bit of a storm. And you know Belichick was probably watching it, losing his mind.
His scissor kicked the TV.
But when you go to 8 Super Bowls, it does make it easier to buy in.
Yeah.
And there are some similarities in terms of the persona, public persona of Brady and what he's willing to show you and what Matthews is willing to show you here in Toronto, because Austin Matthews is not talking a lot. He always looks like he's not really interested in talking to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, he does his post-game interviews and he's like, I don't know.
I'm not going to give you much.
He doesn't give much. He's not really in the mood or doesn't feel like it. Babcock plays by the same rules as Belichick in many ways. Lamoriello clearly buys into that himself. So
I think... Belichick and Lamoriello are cut from the same cloth. Babcock talks a lot where Belichick doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, like Babcock has... Could you imagine Bill Belichick saying, well, he's a good man, he's providing for his family. Like, you couldn't... You don't see any of that, right? Like, I think Mike Babcock's very polished and directs the conversations the way that he wants to go.
Belichick doesn't talk at all.
That's it. Like, he's Lou. Like, you ask him about the color of the sky, and he's like, I don't know. I can't tell you what it is today. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't want to tell you anything.
But the way that they want their players to act
is exactly
the same. I think Babcock and Belichick are cut from the same cloth from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Then you got a guy like John Tortorella who's like, hey.
Loved it.
When you're in Vegas tonight, tomorrow, I believe, go party out. Like animals. Like, they play on Tuesday in Vegas. I think they're there already.
Great.
And he's like, go ahead, party. Have a great time in
Sweat
Vegas.
It out.
His exact quote was, I think playing guilty and playing well guilty is a part of being great in the NHL. Amen, Torts.
I don't mind it. Like, it was funny to see, like, I know you tweeted it, our buddy Mike Commodore tweeted it. I just, to see, like, guys pile on, like, it was funny because I think every player was like, yep, can identify. You can't do it all the time, but a one-off here or there, especially if a team is struggling, you sometimes need something to gravitate towards, and I don't mind it. We had a coach walk in one time and said, guys, 2 a.m. curfew. Nobody in before it. It was after a tough loss. He wanted everyone to go out and blow off some steam. I'll out the coach. It was Q. Joel Quenneville. Said, guys, like, be smart, but everyone go out together.
Well, and that was in St. Louis. You guys were a really good team.
We were.
Yeah. And you were a veteran team. Right.
That's the difference.
That's the
if
thing.
If you're young, like, and garbage, there's a coach is sitting in the lobby waiting to see who comes home late.
And right. You kind of have to be. Like, as much as you may not want to, even if you're in that moment, like, it's if you're in Arizona or if you're in Buffalo, if you, you know, how can you just be like, yeah, go out there and have a great time, party? At some point, you got to be like, wait a minute, what kind of message are you sending? Even if it's happening, just you can't publicly admit to it.
Optically, it's awful.
And optics, you got to play the game.
Today's world. Did you see, saw this on Twitter or on the internet over the weekend, where McDavid's 21st birthday, did you see the fans and all that in the bar? And their TMZ had it. So,
well, because their last game was before the bye in Vegas.
So the whole team stayed, and they had a party, and there was a bunch of fans that went, too. It was kind of like, hey, go and party with Connor on his 21st type of thing. And they weren't doing anything, but it looked like some of the guys were having a good time, and so they should. It was
no
Vegas.
Kidding. It's
they
Vegas, beat Vegas on a bye week.
Vegas on in overtime. Yeah, exactly.
So the fans were just kicking around like they. I'm surprised they didn't have VIPs.
Wow, it was a petting zoo.
There was Oiler signs in the bar.
Petting zoo.
It was a petting zoo.
The thing is, there's nothing you can do. You don't own the bar.
Exactly.
If you want to party in Vegas, the fans are staying in the hotel as well. They're allowed in.
It's true. I saw it on TMZ, but there was nothing wrong with that. And the Oilers happened to win that game, so it was pretty good feeling, I imagine, for those guys.
Man, that would be tough. You're trying to have a good time in Vegas, and
some
three
guy
super fans with your jersey on are just circling you at the bar,
staring at you and filming you.
That would be really difficult.
That's where
you'd that's life. That's if you're a celebrity. That's what comes with the territory, I guess. But
yeah.
that's where you throw up the smoke bomb, and you're like, we're going out the back door to somewhere else.
Exactly.
Quickly.
It's true.
Anyway, I should point out LeBron 3-5 in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, because it was
two
Miami.
Rings with Miami, and he's got one with Cleveland. So he's 3-5.
It's all right though.
And Brady's 5-2-7. He can either go to
Giants
5-3
times,
or the Giants. Well, that's another thing. I know that there is some Patriots fatigue. Yeah. I understand it. They've been there 8 times in this century. They're going back to the Super Bowl, but every game they play in the Super Bowl is close. Like, they lost twice to the Giants, and the 5 wins that they have, all of them are close.
Yeah. They're good games.
So they're really good games. They're entertaining
last
games.
Year,
that's all you can hope for is a good game.
I think the one against Philly, it came down to a field goal.
Yeah, I believe it was a Vinatieri, bomb to win it.
And last year, they were dead in the water at halftime.
And they won in overtime, which I think sometimes people forget.
Well, Brady's first. I think they had to march down the field and kick a field goal to win it.
Yep. Multiple times, Vinatieri had to do that to win it. So... Anyway, Leafs Avalanche tonight. The Leafs coming off a big Third period, man, did they need that. Like, we were joking earlier that Babcock supplied his first Scrabble face as the head coach of the Maple Leafs after the second period. Like, the cameras caught him, and he looked completely bewildered.
He was deciding what he was going to say to those guys, if anything, in between periods, because they've been gone through blowing leads, who's getting ice time. He just looked like, what am I going to say to these guys right now?
I think they play well tonight.
I think they're going to win
tonight. You know what I'm worried about, though? And I thought about this today. Freddie Anderson hasn't been pulled in a while, and he hasn't had a stinker. Like, he's had a couple. I didn't think he was great on Saturday, but pulled it out, made a couple good saves. I look around the league. This is the time of year now you're starting to see some goalies get a little bit fatigued and maybe a dip in their play. He's been so good. Now, he had a tough start, but he's been so good. Mm-hmm. You're going to see an off night from him one of these days.
He's played a lot of games too. I think this is his ninth or tenth straight start.
And now they're going into the, you know, into the break. He's got to get there.
Yeah, he'll play obviously tonight in one of the games in Chicago or in Dallas.
Right.
And Morgan Riley, we believe, has been he's on the IR. I think he's shut down for the week, so he's not playing. Zaitsev won't be back. Man, so the defense is depleted. Chicago's not what they once were, but they've still got some firepower.
And Dallas,
they can run on you.
Yeah.
So, depending on which games he gets, you're right.
Listen,
but at the same time,
have a good week. Like, they're, you know, they can play with all of these teams. It's just, you know, Colorado's won 9 in a row. Chicago's desperate.
On the flip side, Colorado is real due for a reality
check.
And Johnny Burns is real due for a reality check himself. He's been unbelievable the past 2 weeks.
Yep.
He's been incredible. So if there's one of the goalies going in tonight that I think has a better chance of being pulled and having an off night, is probably Bernier, just because of the workload catching up with him.
Yeah, that's,
and he's been unconscious. And full credit to him, he's been so good. I mean, that was a big signing by them. That was one that was completely under the radar
because he didn't make a lot of money. I think it's $2 million, and they signed him as a backup because Varlamov's healthy. He's a really good goaltender, really good. And they missed Varlamov, I think, for almost 40 games last year. People forget about that. You were running Calvin Pickard out there.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Pickard played over 50 games for Colorado last year.
Like Toronto Marley.
Yeah, and he's played very well in the AHL, but as a three. Like, when you're relying on him night in and night out, you know, he wasn't... Not that he wasn't ready, they just weren't a good enough team. Mm-hmm. They just weren't. They weren't.
Well, whatever they've done over the past 12 months, man, they have turned that ship around. Because Colorado, nine wins in a row, they're into a playoff spot. They were abysmal a year ago.
Yep.
And, you know, everything, again, has broken their way. And Nathan McKinnon's the talk of the league right now. That top line's really good. Johnny Burns playing really well. So it's not going to be easy for the Leafs tonight, but they're coming off a very solid period anyway in Ottawa. And all game they played okay. They just had some, again, breakdowns in the second period.
It was their second, which usually Ottawa
has been terrible.
They took their foot off the gas. Ottawa played very well in the second, but they regrouped, and I know there was a lot of talk of Patrick Marleau standing up.
We haven't brought that up. What do you think he really said? Like, Marleau is not a big personality. He's not a loud guy. I understand the business we're in. We all feed the beast here about narratives and selling narratives and selling this idea that Patrick Marleau, this great leader, stepped up in the room and
I don't think this was an episode from Hoosiers. Like,
no,
that's what I'm saying.
Stood up and
he
said,
was probably
guys,
like, boys,
let's
come on.
Pull our head
let's
out of our asses here and let's get going.
Let's
here.
Get the F going.
I don't think it was an Al Pacino in any given
this.
Sunday speech.
You know, stop messing around. Let's get it going here. But the fact that he spoke up, when somebody doesn't speak up, like Frederick Anderson had the time before, when quiet guys say something, they usually have something to say with a purpose, because they're not just mouthpieces that talk every game and you drown out what they say. So good on Patrick Marleau. And
I just found it interesting that, like, Matthews felt not obligated, but he couldn't wait to tell people that Patrick Marleau got up and said something.
Because if you actually know Patrick, he's a quiet guy, but if you know him, like, in social settings, I've been in social settings with him. He's funny. He's a good guy. He can be outspoken. It's just,
well, he's been in the league for 20 years. I'm sure this wasn't his first intermission pep talk.
This guy's seen everything.
I just rarely believe that is what really turns a team around. I think the Leafs came out, they started skating. Ottawa performed the way that they have all year, fell back on their heels. Leafs took advantage of it. The crowd was behind them. I mean, that was As we said off the top, I've never witnessed anything like that from a Maple Leaf crowd. The Leaf fans have been traveling to Ottawa and showing up in Ottawa forever. Buffalo, Montreal, when they go out to Western Canada. But it does really feel like there's a new wave. And they're all Matthews and Marner and Nylander jerseys. It's not Clark and Gilmore anymore. Or Sundin, Tucker, and McCabe's.
Well, they didn't
like it's
win
a
cups.
New wave of excitement, which you can understand. And a lot of people are probably like, I want to go see the kids for the first time. If you didn't get a chance to see them last year or earlier this year, people in Ottawa, Montreal, throughout Western Canada, when they get there, you got to get out and see. If you're a lifelong Leaf fan, you're dying to see Matthews and Marner and Nylander.
Well, they didn't disappoint the
No, they
night.
Didn't. They because, like, if you go back and look at the Carrick goal, they were yelling, shoot. Like, throughout the whole building was yelling, shoot. It felt that way. Clearly, it wasn't. 35 to 40% were Ottawa fans that were probably yelling, block. But that's the kind of stuff you expect to hear at the ACC.
Yeah.
That's what you would expect Ottawa fans to be yelling at the Canadian Tire Center.
Well,
and it's Leaf fans in their building adding insult to injury on the game winner when Ottawa's season's been a disaster and the Leafs are going to the playoffs.
You're really taken back by that, huh? All the Leaf fans in Ottawa? I don't know why you're so surprised.
Well,
was it just a certain level they took it to where it was just a full Leaf crowd?
If you can reference one that was more outrageous than that, go ahead, but I can't. I've seen it before. I'm not saying it's unprecedented. For Leaf fans show up all the time in Ottawa, but that felt like it was 80% Leaf fans.
Well, I think it was a perfect storm. You had the Leafs are where they are in the standings. Ottawa is where they are in the standings. So there was probably a lot of tickets available, and people scooped them up. Weekend game, head up to Ottawa. Like, it was a perfect storm.
They showed Melnick in the crowd, too, or in his box. He had a bit of a Scrabble face going on as well.
Eugene Melnick?
Yeah.
Well, he's going through some tough times. Well,
you don't want to see that in your own building. That's the truth. You don't want to see, like, he... Regardless of what you think of him, he owns a team. He's got a lot of pride in it. Well, you're looking out. Yeah, it's full, but it's
I'm
not
actually shocked
full
that he didn't have
want.
A comment afterwards.
Not much you can say.
He hasn't been shy about taking runs at fans.
I think that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. I can't get people in this building, and then it's all Leaf fans. I'm surprised he didn't have a comment.
I think he's upset enough people there. I think he's been...
Probably in his best interest not to keep taking runs at the paying customers, even if they're not technically showing up.
Exactly.
It's probably not in his best interest. But, yeah, their own players are getting booed. There's a lot of Leaf fans. The team continues to lose. It's not easy right now if you're the owner of that team. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I got the Leafs tonight. I rarely bet the Leafs. You got Colorado. Look at you, 10 in a row.
Feeling. I got a stinky feeling.
All right. I'm on the Leafs.
I have the Leafs tonight. I don't know why. I just have them.
I'm fading Ottawa again. I'm on Minnesota tonight. Over the number, Tampa, Chicago. Throw down 20, you can score 100. Or throw down 20, you can score 75. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, the pregame is up next. Puck drop just after 7. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Yes, Guy.
We'll chat then.